The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Okay, we're back with another exciting episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. Gene, how are you doing?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I actually didn't get woken up by my dog in the middle of the night last night.
We always get back to the pets and the dogs.
And you got up at what time to get here?
To get here, I left at 4 a.m. and drove to get here. So, and I've been listening to, I listen to podcasts along the way.
Oh, good.
Great podcast for your listener that doesn't even compete with this one. I just want to say the BBC Four, it's on CastBox. You can get it as a podcast called In Our Time. And it's a history show. It's been going on for a few years. And it's every week they have it. They pick, it's one guy that hosts it. He has like two or three very British academics that speak like,
I love that.
Great. And they're very much smarter than all of us, of course, because they're academics and they're from England.
Yeah.
And they pick a specific topic in history, the Dutch East India Company, Alexander the Great, the Great Wall of China, whatever it is. And for like 45 minutes, they just riff about it.
Nice.
And it's absolutely.
And then when you go to cocktail parties, you're like,
oh,
the
I'm
most
so smart.
Interesting man.
You know what it does? We talk about different things to, like, help you like balance in your life and running a business and all of that. This, I'm listening for an hour about like the Dutch East India Company, how they collapsed, or I listen, for the Augustan age or whatever. Mm-hmm. It really does put things into perspective. I was just listening about the Spanish Inquisition.
How like exciting CRMs are.
You're right. What it does, I'm like, thank God we live in 2017, with whatever problems and issues there might be in the world. Trust me, you don't want to be living in the age of like the Vikings. Know what I mean? Life is good. So, and when you listen to these shows, it puts your life, our little itty bitty stupid lives, into perspective.
Nice.
So it's good. It's called In Our Time and it's BBC Four show and it's on CastBox. You can get it.
Okay, I'm going to put that in
the show notes. It's good. I really like that show a lot.
Okay, we are going to be right back with our first question. This is about networking, but it's very involved and very funny about networking. I think you're going to like this one, Gene.
Okay.
The Small Biz Ahead podcast is brought to you by the Business Owner's Playbook. Whether you're a seasoned small business owner or just starting out, the Business Owner's Playbook is your go-to destination for how to run your business. From business plan templates to advice on managing employees, the Business Owner's Playbook features up-to-date, sound advice on running your business.
Okay, we're back with question number one. And I just have to say, the question is from Scott from Ohio, but our producer, Mike Kelly, he's the one who works on the podcast with me. He's going to love this question. And Gene, I think you are too.
I can
it's very funny.
Imagine, okay?
Scott writes, hello, I'm currently working full-time as an IT specialist, but I'm starting a business in my free time. The business I'm starting is just a simple app I call Grubber. That's G-R-U-B-B-E-R.
Grubber, okay.
A user puts his or her dietary specifications into the app, and then the app pulls up meals from restaurants and eateries that are within a set radius that have online menus and then makes a meal plan or suggestion for the person.
God, that's a great idea.
I know, right?
I like that.
It's mostly for people who travel a lot and are trying to eat healthy. So for example, if you're away for business and it's dinner time and you're trying to stay low carb, the app may find a Chipotle within 10 miles of you and recommend the chicken burrito bowl with no rice.
Huh.
I'm always being told to go to these small business owner meetings in my city. I went to one and it was the worst. It was basically a group of 20 people who didn't own businesses, but were basically just trying to latch on to any unsuspecting fool with a good idea that stumbled into the meeting.
Mm.
Literally, not a single person actually ran a legitimate business.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bunch of people with half-baked ideas and unqualified skill sets trying to come up with ways to do business with me, quote unquote. Think of a room filled with, quote, business consultants, unquote, who have never run a business or who have no understanding of the technology field I'm working in. I left there with a jacket pocket packed with business cards that I just threw out, the cards, not the jacket, How can I find like-minded people who have actual experience and more compatible skill sets that will help me with my business slash app? This is a great question.
It is a great question. By the way, he could not be more spot on to some of the experiences I have had at networking groups where I have gone and I'm like, everybody here is either looking for a job or they're like a life coach or they're like, you know, like not like a, I'd like to meet somebody who's actually running like a bona fide, you know, business. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I could tell you if you know, some advice when we're talking about networking that I think works really well. The best networking that anybody can do is in their specific industry. Right. I mean, yeah. You know, because they're and you're going to pay for it, by the way. So he has to, first of all, decide, is he in the food industry or is he in like the app development industry?
I think it's more of a tech play.
Could be. But that's up to him to decide. And by the way, maybe it's both. OK, so, you know, he needs to find either easily online one of the hundreds of app development conferences, for example, that go on around the country and find one that suits basically the content that they're doing, the agenda that they're doing, the speakers that they have, the companies that sponsor, and go for a few days because it's usually like an out of town, couple, 3 days, he's going to go to one of those. He might, maybe he's a foodie guy, or maybe it's both. And maybe if he's a foodie guy, he's looking for conferences in the restaurant industry or for the fast food industry or nutritional food industry. And then he goes, and when you go to those conferences, first of all, people that go there, they're paying to be there.
They're serious.
They're serious because they're leaving work and they are going. My clients, the only time they leave their office, they don't go to these networking events, they go to their industry conferences. So you're going to be there. You're going to not only get educated and go to some good forums or sessions or workshops or whatever, but there's tons of networking available. And now the networking is all people that are like in the business in some way or form that you will then meet and talk to. I mean, you're still going to get those few people that are looking for jobs or, but a lot less because you got to, like I said, you got to pay and commit to be at those events.
So spending a couple $1,000s on a business idea so you get to actually rub elbows with people who can help you launch this business.
Sure.
Or people who might say, this is a stupid idea.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's, you know, you really want to talk to people in the industry already who might have already done this or might be prospective customers. But these are people that they're serious people. So that's what I would do. So it's usually not going to be local unless he lives in Ohio, right? So
yeah.
It's definitely not going to be local for him. Like if he lived in Vegas or Orlando, he might have gotten away with something local. That's what he should commit to. That's the event he should be going to.
I love the idea for this app. I would totally download
it. It's very cool.
App.
It's very cool.
I love
that. So the question that, you know, I mean, does he want to talk to developers that are developing similar apps? Like what features do they include? You know, where do they hire their staff? Or where do they, you know, he might have a bunch of interesting things to learn from people. So he might want to go to a technical conference. But that's up to him.
What if you're not techie? What if you have an idea for an app, but you're not techie at all?
Well, it depends on the industry that the idea for the app is in. So, you know, the technical part of it can be outsourced, but it's, you have to see if there's a market for it. So you're going to go to that industry for the app.
Okay. All right. We're going to be right back with question two about starting a business after a word from our sponsor.
Are you looking to expand and grow your small business, but don't have time to keep up with the latest trends in technology? We've got you covered with the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. Sign up today and start receiving our weekly email chock full of the latest tools and resources to help you run a successful business. Find us at smallbizahead.com.
All right, so we're back with question number two. This is about starting a business, and it's from...
Don't do it! Don't do it!
Johan in Saranac Lake, New York. He writes, I'm thinking about starting a business. Does it make a difference if I register as a C Corp or an S Corp?
Mm.
So, Gene, I'm going to defer to you on this.
You love like having these, like, you know, anything tax related you want to like. So it does make a difference. And it actually makes a lot of difference in certain ways. First of all, if it's a side business or a freelancer business or something that you're just kind of getting it, you know, up and running and it's unofficial, you don't have to form any of those. You can just put it on your Schedule C to your regular 1040 tax return, and that's for other income, and you can deduct expenses against it. However, if you want to make it official and you're really starting up a company and you want to, you know, get it going, there's, you know, it's about liability and it's about tax rates. If you set up a C corporation, you're really protected from a lot of liability under a C corporation, so that's good. But you will pay higher tax rates because corporate tax rates unless they get changed by some of the tax reform thing that's talked about, it's being talked about now in DC, you're going to be paying a rate that could be as high as 34, 35%. So corporate tax rates, and then plus when you want to take money out of a C Corp, people take it out through dividends and you get taxed on that as well. So, you know, C Corps are good for mostly larger companies and companies that really want to make sure that they protect themselves liability wise. And S Corp is the most popular form of setup for most small businesses. It provides most of the protection that you need from a liability standpoint. And I'm looking at Elizabeth and she's yawning right now. She's falling asleep as I'm talking. But an S Corporation is popular because it's easy to set up. It does provide you with probably enough liability protection. And also, it all the income just filters right down onto your tax return. So it's easier to do your filings. However, an S Corp, any income that you make is taxed at your individual rates, which depending on where they are, could be higher than a corporate rate after your deductions. So you have to evaluate what's just going to cost you more. I think most people, their individual rates are lower than the corporate rate. And with some of the changes that are likely to happen in tax reform as well, an S Corp is going to be your best bet to setting up for your company. Talk to your accountant.
Do you need to incorporate if you're like a life coach?
Right. So that gets back to sort of the Schedule C on your your 1040 return. If you're doing a side business, you're a freelancer
whatever. What if it's your full-time business?
If it's your full-time business, then, you know, yeah, I think you would incorporate as an S corporation or even an LLC. That's like a partnership, a little limited liability company. As a life coach, you know, you could be sued. Who knows? Maybe you coach somebody to end their life. I don't know. Or make some really bad judgment and you get sued because of it. And if you're doing that under the auspices of an entity, you'll have some legal protection.
What if you're a freelance for that liability? Or a freelance video editor?
Right. So if you're doing it full time, you're saying, then again, an S corporation return is usually what we recommend to our clients.
Could you get sued as a freelance writer?
Sure thing. You can sue. Are you kidding me? Anybody can get sued.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of under what circumstances
Give bad advice that cost somebody money, or they followed your advice and it was negligent advice, kind of like all the advice that, you know, I give on this show, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, you could open yourself up to being sued.
All right. Watch out, Gene. Okay. We'll be right back with our word of brilliance.
Running a business is challenging, and you probably don't always have the time to research new strategies, market trends, and develop skills. But imagine if you could have all the latest information on running a business delivered to you every week. Luckily, there's the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. We offer some of the best information available for business owners, ranging from topics such as time management, game-changing technology and apps, to developing management and leadership skills. Sign up today for the Small Biz Ahead newsletter at smallbizahead.com.
Okay, we're back with our word of brilliance from Gene.
My word of brilliance this week is Chinese, Elizabeth. Why would I be bringing up the word Chinese? You'll never get this. It has nothing to do with ordering food.
I was hoping it was about food.
Nothing to do. You're a traveler. You like to go, or maybe someday you'll visit China as well. It's a great country. China is a huge opportunity for a lot of American businesses, and Microsoft has recently done something that will benefit any business, your business, if you'd like to do business in China. Microsoft Skype, which is part of Office, and we're all familiar with it as the video calling technology, now has an added feature that will do real-time instantaneous translation of a whole bunch of different languages, including Chinese. And why I think that's really valuable to a business that wants to invest in learning it and getting it up and running and operational. Again, it's included within your, if you have an Office 365 subscription, is that now you can think about if you have any Chinese suppliers, any potential Chinese customers, you want to talk to a Chinese partner. Language is always the biggest obstacle. Now you can set up a Skype call and build in this interpretation services, and you will have the actual languages being interpreted in real time as you have that conversation. I think that's like a huge, huge bonus and benefit for any company that's looking to do work overseas. It's not just Chinese, it's Spanish as well, and French as well, and ancient Latin and Greek. No, I'm just kidding. What? It's not ancient Latin and Greek, but it is a bunch of different languages. But I pick out Chinese in particular because, obviously a growing big market for American companies.
So are a lot of American businesses, what kind of what kind of work are they doing with China right now? I know they've got a lot of suppliers there. What else? Like, if you're a small business, you're like a retail shop or something, where else could you look to expand?
The biggest issue with China is that selling into the Chinese market has always been very, very challenging, okay? And that's, you know, that's more of a thing than, you know, part of this conversation. It's more supply is where it's really been. So it's about meeting suppliers and meeting potential customers and partners. So, you know, looking for somebody to buy cheaper in China, because goods are just cheaper to buy in China, that has been the number one reason why American companies do business in China. Unless you're a Starbucks and or McDonald's and you want to enter the Chinese market and deal with the regulation and the system and all that, that's usually not something that most small business owners do. So it's you're looking for supplies.
Okay, yep. Great. All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Jean for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.